Well, good morning, Back Roads Church. What an honor it is to be able to be before you again and share in worship today. We are really glad, really blessed that you've chosen to join us today, whether it be in person or online. We're just grateful that we're together. A few quick announcements before we get into praying and worshiping and being together. I want to remind folks that Tuesday night is Taco Tuesday at the Basketball campus, and that goes to support the kids in their mission trip. So if you're in town or live in town, please come out and support those kids. And second thing is, I think we're about probably better than two-thirds of our way towards meeting last year's donations towards InterHope. If you hadn't heard, the person that matches our funds is going to match all the way through January. So if you haven't had an opportunity or you've just found a little extra that will change these kids' lives, please just add that to your offering, and we will just continue to bless that ministry as well. So with that being said, as we gather for a time of prayer and then to hear God's word, if you have joys or concerns on your heart, know that as we gather to pray, that God is with us. He's listening to us. He hears everything within us. Whether we speak it out loud, whether we just hold it in our hearts, God is with us and hears our prayers. So let's start out by praying this morning. Loving God, we are an incredibly obstinate bunch of people, aren't we? We've just come through the season in which your light was given to the world and your blessings were poured out on all of your creation. And even though it was only a couple of weeks ago, if we're honest, we can feel ourselves being pulled back into the old negative ways of the world. Our thoughts are already centering on our own problems, on our own needs, even on our own desires. Lord, please reset us again so we focus our attention entirely on you. We want to make you our center point, Lord. Help us to yearn for your presence in our lives. Remind us again of our baptismal vows. Creator God, when everything first began, water became a symbol of refreshing, of washing away, and of renewing. Through the waters of creation, you brought forth life. And we've gathered this morning to remember Jesus' baptism and how your Spirit proclaimed that he was your beloved Son, in whom you were very well pleased. In his baptism, Jesus' ministry was initiated. He dedicated his life to you completely and without any reservation. So Lord, help us to dedicate our lives to you also. We need to offer you our very best. We need to be of service to you by serving in this world. And Lord, as we've lifted names before you for people who are near and dear to us, who need to feel your healing touch and your tender mercies, we also sit here knowing that we too, each one of us gathered in your presence this morning, we are in continual need of your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness. So Lord, we ask that you pour out your baptismal waters over us again, cleansing us from our self-pity and from our arrogance. Nourish us and heal us so that we may joyfully serve you. Wash away our jealousy, our greed, all the negative thoughts and behaviors that stand in our way of truly being the people that you have called us to be. Again, let us receive the blessings offered in creation, in the birth and the baptism of Jesus, and in the ministry of the one sent to set us free, to save us. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this morning, we've been working through Matthew, through all the Christmas season. So this morning, I'm going to go a little bit different direction. We're going to go back into the Old Testament. I'm going to read from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. And I'll read from the NIV version. If you have something else, please follow along. Here's what the word tells us this morning. He said, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In his faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope." This is what the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to his people and life to those who walk on it. "I, the Lord, have called you righteous. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and the light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. My praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." This is the word of God for the people of God. So I want to ask you, have you ever had the feeling that you were in the right place at the right time? The scripture that I just read was written almost 800 years before Matthew wrote his account of what happened on that day that Jesus stepped into the Jordan River with John and was baptized. For Jesus, this was when he knew that he was in the right place at the right time. Today we remember the baptism of our Lord. This is the event that kicked off Jesus' public ministry of saving the world from their sins. Here's what the Gospel of Matthew says. I'll be reading from a version called The Message. So hear these words as well. "Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected. He said, 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you.' But Jesus insisted, 'Do it.' God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. The moment that Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened, and John saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on Jesus. And along with the Spirit, a voice. 'This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, the delight of my life.'" May God add his blessing to the continuing reading of his word. Sometimes we aren't sure if now is the right time for things. Throughout our lives, we wonder if now is the right time to buy our car or to invest in a house. Is it the right time to get married? Is it the right time to have a baby? We wonder, is it the right time to change jobs? Or is now the right time for me to retire? There are also times when we wonder if we're in the right place. Is this part of Wisconsin the right place where I'm supposed to be in ministry? For some, it may be, should I be at this party? Should I be with these people? Is this the best neighborhood to raise our kids? Is this a safe place to spend my time? I'll share with you one time Jeannie and I We were flying to Oregon for some business that we had, and we were meeting two of our friends. We were meeting Willie and Charlotte at O'Hare Airport, and we were supposed to fly out of O'Hare together to go to Portland. Jeannie and I got to the airport early. I always like to be early. So when we got there, I went and looked at the TV screens. I found our flight on the screen that I thought we were supposed to be at, and we headed off through the airport to our gate to wait for our friends Willie and Charlotte. When we got to the gate, the first thing I did is I went up there to the gate. I took my boarding passes, went to the young lady and who was working there, and I checked in. And this friendly attendant said that we would be boarding on time. Everything looked great. Everything was perfect for our flight to Portland. The time got a little bit closer because we had got there early. It got a little bit closer. It was sneaking up on us pretty quickly. And there was no sign of Willie or Charlotte. I remember thinking, oh no, something happened. They're going to miss this flight. And we waited. And then I looked around and I noticed that something seemed to be just a little bit off. And I looked at our gate. I looked at the plane sitting out there. And I wondered, why is there an American Airlines jet at the Reno gate that we're supposed to be boarding out of? Have you ever had that feeling deep down in the pit of your stomach that says, uh-oh? Suddenly I had this revelation that I was not in the right place at the right time. I went up to the young lady at the desk, the same young lady who had took my boarding pass and checked me in a little bit earlier. And I told her, I said, I think we have a problem. I think we're at the wrong gate. And I believe the flight that we were supposed to be on with our friends Willie and Charlotte has already taken off without us. She kind of looked at me and then she grabbed my boarding pass again. She looked at it and she said, not a problem. She goes, we'll just get you on this flight. She did some banging on the computer. Jeannie and I got on. We grabbed our carry-on bags. We climbed aboard and whew, we made it just in time. So we sit on the airplane, everybody else boards. As we're pushing off toward the runway, we make that turn on the runway before they make their takeoff. And I looked at Jeannie and I said, I wonder if we're going to Portland, Oregon, or if we're going to Portland, Maine. Good news is God was definitely our co-pilot on that day, and we ended up in the right Portland, not on the opposite side of the country. Actually, we had a nonstop flight with a full meal service on this plane. They never charged us any extra or anything. We were actually comfortably in our room before Willie and Charlotte even caught their connecting flight in Rio. That day, by the grace of God, we just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And today, I'm glad to say that I feel we're in the right place and at the right time, too. In our first passage this morning, the prophet Isaiah tells us about what's going to happen when God feels that the time is right. And then Matthew tells us in his gospel that time has arrived. Jesus has arrived at just the right time, and he's in just the right place. In our lesson, we find ourselves at the Jordan River. It's about 30 years after Jesus was born. Just think if we could go back and stand in that line with all those others who were waiting on the shoreline of that river out there in that wilderness. Can you imagine people lined up as far as we could see, wanting to get cleansed in that dirty Jordan River water? They're there because they want to change their lives. They want to repent from their sins, and they want to take a different path home from the way that they've been living up until now. They heard John's message that there's a guy coming to save them, but they need to get ready. They need to prepare themselves. John the Baptizer, he had gathered quite a following. He was right at the height of his preaching and his baptizing ministry. The popularity polls probably had him ranked extremely high with the faith. He had earned so much street credibility that he even had the gall to call out the hotshots, the Pharisees and the Sadducees for being hypocrites. John was on top of his game. And now picture this. You're standing in line, waiting patiently your turn to go next and get dunked. And you could start to hear this murmur in the crowd. You could start to hear the whispering. And you see all the people's heads are starting to turn in one direction. They're all looking at the same thing. And then you realize what they're looking at. Here he comes. Here comes Jesus, the one that John had told us about. And he walks straight out into the water, not on top of it yet, but straight out into the water just to meet John. You would think that Jesus, wouldn't your natural thought think that Jesus was going out there to baptize John? But no, instead Jesus expects John to baptize him. Listen again. Jesus then appeared arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. But John objected. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Can't you almost see John putting out his hand saying to Jesus, wait, this isn't right. You should be baptizing me. That would be kind of like, I'll use a Green Bay analogy here for you guys. That would be like Brett Favre driving by your house one day and sees you throwing your garbage into the garbage can. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he pulls his car into your driveway and you see him running full speed right at you. And he says, hey, I saw how you threw that garbage bag. I need you to throw me some passes so I can catch some footballs from someone who has such a golden arm as you. You'd look at him like he had two heads, wouldn't you? Whoa, wait a minute, Brett. You're a three-time NFL most valuable player. You should be throwing at me, showing me how it's done. And that's what John saw. He saw the Son of God standing there, asking, demanding, wanting him to baptize Jesus, to baptize him. John knew that Jesus was much greater than he could ever be, and that he wasn't even fit to tie Jesus' sandals. He recognized Jesus as the one who didn't need to repent, who didn't need any forgiveness. He didn't need to be cleansed of anything. So why would Jesus want to be baptized by him, by John? John had to be thinking, this is completely bass backwards. There's no way that something like this should be happening. But listen to Jesus' response. Jesus insisted, do it, John. God's work of putting things right all these centuries, this plan that he's been working on all these centuries, is coming together right now, right here in this baptism. So John, he did it. Jesus was saying, at another time, John, you'd be right in what you're thinking. But this is the right place. This is the right time for this baptism. I'm always fascinated by the story of the baptism of Jesus. It's one of those few stories that's in everyone, all four of the Gospels. And I think this one is so intriguing because it's a hard one to really understand. The question I hear most people struggle with because of this passage is this: why did Jesus need to be baptized? He didn't need to get his sins washed away anyway because he was without sin. And if he was without sin, why did he be baptized for forgiveness? He didn't need forgiveness. Here's what I believe. Here's why. For Jesus, baptism was his way of submitting himself completely to God's will. For him, it was letting go of one phase of his life and moving into the next phase of his life. This was the beginning of his public ministry. It was now the right time and the right place for him to start his journey. A journey that would take him to the cross. A journey that would lead him to where he would die. To a tomb where he would pay the price for our sins. And then to a resurrection where we receive eternal life with Jesus. The act of baptism symbolizes all the steps in Jesus' journey from life to death to new life. Just think again about all the people standing on the banks of the river that day. They too were there to start the next phase of their lives. They had heard the call from John to change their ways, to repent. That group of lost souls chose to change the path that they were on. They chose to trust God enough to walk away from their old ways, the ways that only led to death, and to take a new path that offers them eternal life. A path that opened the invitation into God's family. Backroads, today we remember Jesus' baptism. We also celebrate the fact that we still have access to, and we're still invited to take part in what happened on that shoreline so long ago. Our baptism is God's gracious invitation into the fullness of his power and his grace. Through both baptism and the Lord's table, we're drawn into a direct encounter with God's living presence. These sacraments aren't primarily about what we do for God, but about what God is doing for us, within us, shaping us, strengthening us, sustaining us by his grace. Today is the right time. It's the right place for us to remember our own baptisms and to recommit to our journey on the path to everlasting life. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for meeting us here today, at this time, at this place, at the river's edge of your word and within the waters of your grace. You once again declared your delight in your Son at the Jordan. Remind us again that we too, we're claimed, that we're loved, we're all called by you. Today we remember the baptism of Jesus, the moment when the heavens opened and your Spirit moved in power. Renew in us, Lord, the promise of our own baptism. Wash away our doubts, our fears, any of those distractions that would block out those cleansing waters. Strengthen us to let go of what no longer gives life and to step fully into the next chapter that you've prepared for us. When we question whether we're in the right place or the right time, take hold of our hands as you promised through the prophet Isaiah. Make us servants shaped by gentleness, bearers of justice, and let us be the light in those places where darkness just hangs out. By your Spirit, continue to work within us, putting things right, healing what is bruised, and kindling hope where faith feels like it's no more than a smoldering wick. Lord, we offer ourselves to you once more, trusting that you are faithful and that your grace goes before us. We're grateful for our ability to bring our gifts to you as well. Lord, we only offer what you have already provided for us. And now we ask that these gifts that we've brought forth, the ones that we give to you, we ask that they may be multiplied so that your redeeming work may continue until Jesus' return and we all share equally in your glory. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased. Amen. Go now remembering that you are God's beloved, claimed in baptism and sustained by his grace. And may the Spirit who descended like a dove lead you into the right place at the right time. May Christ, the servant who brings justice and hope, walk beside you on the road ahead. And may the blessings of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Go now in peace. Amen.